Let me set my time here just in case I went over my time. So time is 6:12, is that correct? Depends on the time zone, okay? 7:12. I'm just making sure that you guys are awake. Thank you so much for the invitation once again, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. This time I brought my family, my wife, and my two beautiful kids, and Chrissy. When you have a time, please talk to her. She doesn't bite, okay? She doesn't bite. She is a very, very nice person. Before we begin, I want you to open your Bibles if you have it with you. I do hope that you have it with you. We are going to camp into Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So let's turn to Ephesians. Let's look into that particular book this evening. I would like to at least start in a short prayer before we begin. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we thank you once again for being with us, for guiding us throughout this week. We realize, Father, that we are so blessed. And just looking around and the beauty of your creation and the church family that we have and the blood family that we have, everything, Father, that you have given us is worthy of recognition. I pray, Father, that you'll be with us as we study a portion of your word. And may your word be our guide as we continue to live our lives here on earth. And we look forward, Father, for the day when your Son comes back, and we do hope and pray that what the things that we do here will be pleasing to you, so that when we all get to heaven, it will be a great time of rejoicing. And thank you once again for your Son, Jesus, in his name that we pray. Amen. To those of you that do not know me, my name is JR, and I'm thankful that I am given an opportunity to minister at Delaware Church of Christ. Next week will be our second year. Time flies so fast. And this week, or this time, I was given this idea of sow the seed of victory. Now, let me tell you about it, because it actually points me toward understanding more of the American history. For some of you that do not know, I was born and raised in the Philippines. But, you know, Philippines is actually under the Commonwealth of America back in World War II. And so I was looking at this title and then trying to Google it, and something came up that really caught my attention, is the idea that everyone is encouraged to contribute to our efforts. But the overarching theme of this particular study that we're doing is mainly about spiritual growth. And I'm drawn into understanding how, as Christians, you know, we can continue to sow the seed towards victory. You know, that slogan started in First World War and carried over in Second World War, that every one of us must contribute. It was faced with resistance at first, but when people started to see the effort and the result of coming together and providing food, growing food at in your own backyard, it brings this idea that there is something better that we can do for our country. But I want us to look into this idea when it comes to our spiritual responsibility. Because I do believe, just like what the song says to us, it's about sowing the seed. You know, there are three major words I would like for you to notice in the title that was given to me. Sow, seed, victory. But the imperative there is that you have to do something. You have to sow. And I realize that when we look at this idea of sowing the seeds, we can look into our spiritual walk, understanding that there is something that I can contribute for my own personal growth and the growth of my fellow Christians. So how do we know if we are growing in our spiritual walk? What indicators do we need to notice to recognize that we are becoming like Jesus daily? I understand that growth is essential. Side note, you know, I that idea of growth is always ingrained in my mind since I was a kid, because look at my height. You know, I stopped growing. But I do realize that growth as a Christian is so essential, for I believe it will equip us to face challenges and troubled times. Hence, World War I and World War II. When proper nourishment is provided and an environment for growth is available, a Christian individual will undoubtedly thrive. You all know that you have to do something in order for you to realize how growth is so important in your Christian walk. Now, since the ingredients for spiritual growth are available, if change does not occur, the problem may be a lack of desire on our part. It will face resistance. And when we resist it to the challenge that's been given to us, then there won't be any growth at all. Let's pause for a moment. Look at your own personal relationship with God. And some of you probably have been a Christian for more than 5 years. Maybe 10 years, 20 years. What are some indicators that you see in your life that tells you that you are growing in your walk? You see, in the book of Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and following, it says, seeing that His divine power, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. God gave it to us. He supplied to us the things that we need concerning or pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. I also am aware that growth begins with the sowing of seed. And spiritual growth does not occur unless we use the resources that God gave to us. It is essential. And we have to, you know, when I was talking to Brother Allen, you know, we have to take it out of the bag, or so to speak. I mean, use it, utilize it, and try to find a way where you can make sure that you're growing, that the seed that you have can contribute to your own personal growth and the growth of your brothers and sisters. Also, we see in Peter, 2 Peter 3, verse 17 and 18, it says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of principal men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you see the challenge there? As we try to understand the idea of this sowing the seeds of victory, we have to do something in order for us to achieve victory. In fact, that's the end result of the war efforts. That one day we will become victorious, and that happened already. And we know that when we come together, and I contribute to the growth of myself and the church itself, there will be victory. But I'm also aware of the challenges. And you have to prepare yourself for the challenges. Because when you sow the seeds, it will be faced with resistance. People will misunderstand you. People will probably deny you of their association with you. Or they won't even talk to you. In fact, even in our times right now, it's, you know, what was once a taboo is now a norm, which I'm talking about the idea of, you know, so many things like gay marriages and whatnot. But those things that were actually normal at that time, which is living like a Christ, a Christian, is becoming a taboo right now. Here's a challenge for us, brothers and sisters, because we were told to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, here's the big idea that I want you to think about this evening. It is this: even though we are aware of our destination, which is heaven, we must make it our goal to be Christ-like daily. That's the big idea that I want you to think about. We know that the destination is heaven. When we continue to be like Christ daily, the destination will always be there. And we all know that we can achieve victory if we sow the seeds. And if we don't sow the seeds, then there won't be any victory at all. So for the big idea this evening is, even though we are aware of our destination, we must make it our goal to be Christ-like daily. And so, having said that, Christianity is about our lifestyle. We have to let go of our humanity in order for people to see our Christianity. Humanity sometimes takes over the idea of Christianity, therefore people are now not able to see what Christ-like is all about. In the book of John, we see Jesus says, "We are in the world, but not of the world." There's a big difference there. There's a big difference there. We need to have the proper mindset in order for us to achieve victory. And one of the things that we need to be mindful of is what Paul said to us, that, you know, when you are in Christ, you are a new creation. So when you are a new creation, do you stop there? Do we believe in once saved, you're forever saved? No, we are. That's just the beginning. Once you're baptized, that's just the beginning, because victory is our goal. It's our destination, rather. And that sowing the seed is something that we must be mindful of. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be camping into Ephesians, because there are at least four ideas there that we're going to be looking into. The idea that before we achieve victory, we have to sow the seeds. And we have to take inward. We have to look inward, rather, in order for us to see the main idea, or the importance as well, of what sowing the seed is all about. Are you ready? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, the major idea that I want us to see there is the idea of devotion. Devotion. Living a life of pure devotion to God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." Notice with me the idea that Paul wanted them to have, wanted them to possess. The seriousness of the matter is that they need to bear fruit. They need to understand their responsibility, that also they need to increase in their knowledge of Jesus. More so when we see in Philippians 1:21, Paul says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." You and I can devote our time in so many things in life. You know, you devote your time to studying academically. You devote your time to your family. You devote your time in looking into ways where you can be a better person. But also, I want you to look into this idea of devotion, pure devotion to God, because it's a serious matter. It's a serious matter to the point where our devotion to God must be equipped, as Paul says in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance to one another in love. You see, the seriousness of the matter is that we must bear fruit, but also our devotion to God must be equipped with humility, gentleness, patience, and diligence. All of those are part of the ingredients, if you will. And with that in mind, Paul was so adamant in telling the people the importance of devotion. Let me read it again. It says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. I want to transport you to World War II. Some of you probably can relate to it because you have relatives that were a part of, you know, World War II, especially some of them probably were stationed or deployed in the Philippines. And when we look at this idea, the efforts, if you will, it's so different living in those times. But they answered to the calling. You know, my family and I are into watching The Waltons. Some of you are big fans of The Waltons. Okay? I don't know. I'm on series 3, and my son is in series 7. Okay? But I've seen series 7 already, but I watch it all the time. But the idea there, at least, it helps me understand more of the American history. But one of the things that really caught my attention is the idea that when there's a need, they answer to the calling. You and I know that when we're challenged by God, by Jesus, we must take it seriously. Because we know that our destination is heaven, but I need to be like Christ daily. And that leads me to my second point, is the idea of direction. See, we see the first idea there is devotion. Now, the idea of direction. Living a life with a sense of direction. How many of you still use GPS? Like, not your phone, but the old GPS. No, all of you are high tech now, right? You use your phones, right? But even when you use your phone, sometimes you still get lost, right? But tapping into the power of God means we are asking Him to direct us, to lead us in a way that will be pleasing to Him. Because when we devoted our lives to Jesus, we know that while living here on earth, there will be temptation. And so living a life with a sense of direction makes us understand that there is a need to fully grasp the idea of what God is challenging us. So look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul says, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. When you sow seeds, you just scatter it everywhere. I mean, at least in concept, you wanted to do that. But Jesus gave us the parable that, you know, when you try to sow seeds, when you scatter the seeds, you must make it a point that it is landing on a good soil. But in our walk, in our Christian life, we have to live a life with a sense of direction because we no longer our old self. Our old self will continue to trick us. Having said that, when we look into the statement of Paul, walk no longer as Gentiles, meaning do not stay in that situation where you do not know God. As we see here in verse 17, in the futility of your mind, verse 18, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. That's the very characteristic of a Gentile. But we are in Christ, aren't we? Therefore, we must walk like Christ. And when we see here one of the things that I like in verse 18 moving forward, because of the hardness of their heart, verse 19, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. That's their old life. That's your old life. That's our old life. When we live our lives that is devoted to Jesus or to God, we must also live a life with a sense of direction. We have this, you know, global positioning system, if you will. That's our old life. Now, we don't go back to our old self. In fact, the challenge there can be seen in this particular section. In verse 21. Actually, let's read verse 20. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your old or former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. Tell me it's not a direction. This is a great challenge for all of us. Paul was trying to say, stop being worldly. Continue to become wordy. Now, is that really a word, wordy? I'm just trying to make sense, you know. Don't stay in the world, but stay in the Word of God. You know, back in the day when I was in preaching school, us being a member of Church of Christ, they always tell us that when we start preaching and we start teaching, we're so full of words from the Bible. You know, at times I feel like, okay, why am I at the preaching school anyway if I'm not applying what I'm learning? Well, the objective aspect of life can be seen in here. This is the authority of God. God breathed. This is the message of God. And we must not stop telling them. You know what? Speaking of direction, probably you have heard this, that we read this Bible. Bible stands for basic instruction before leaving earth. It's your guide. And when you lose that direction, when you lose that aspect of, you know, being in the Word, then you go back to your old self. I remember a guy named in the Bible named Demas. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul says, "For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Some scholars believe that Demas is from Thessalonica. He went back to his old life because of the grandeur of that city. It's not as big city as Ephesus, but Thessalonica is a good port city. Perhaps he succumbed to the temptation of that city. More so, when we look at direction, we must understand that our old self can still haunt us. Have you seen this video of kids? They did an experiment, you know, a video of kids that they put candies in front of them, probably 3 or 4 year old kids, and then the teacher pretended that she's gonna leave for like 30 seconds or maybe a minute, and then she'll come back. But the video that the video camera or the camera was there, and the kids did not know that. And the kids, when they saw candies, what do you think they're going to do? Do you think they will say, ah, that's not good? No, candy to them is candy, plain and simple. And sometimes, when we lose direction, we're so drawn to touch the things that we ought not to touch. Our goal, according to the title of this particular study, is victory. You can't achieve victory if there's no proper direction. And when you look at this situation, we understand that our mindset must be in accordance with the Lord. You know, the third idea that I wanted to share with you is another D word. So we have devotion, we have direction, and the third one is the word decision. That's when it gets hard. Because now you are going to implement it. We have to live a life that's based on godly decisions. Read with me in Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Paul says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children," and verse 2, "and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." This is an active force. To live a life that's based on godly decisions. Those of you that have kids, our kids, I have two kids, they watch every move that we make, whether we like it or not. And my wife and I, when we say something, we cannot believe that they just said that. Or they acted like that. Or you acted like your mom. Or you acted like your dad. Because they're kids. They're like sponges, right? They adapt to their environment. But Christians, we can adapt to the environment, but we must know who we are and whose we are. And with that in mind, we must make this godly decisions. And Paul says, walk in love. This agape love is not just a love that I expect something in return. No, that love is actually superseded with this idea that God loved me first. We were undeserving of God's grace, but because of Christ, God did what's best for us despite or in spite man's rejection and the total disappointment we bring before Him. One of my favorite thing to say in life, especially when I'm traveling, is the words, you know, decision, 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 decision. Especially when I'm traveling abroad, you know, what kind of food do I need to eat? Because when you are having a layover of more than 5 hours, do I need to eat the food from this country or do I need to eat PB&J? Decisions, decisions. And there's so many things that we can use in that particular word. You make decisions to become a follower of Jesus. Remember the big idea, right? We know our destination. That's heaven. But we must understand the idea that our goal is to be like Christ daily. When you wake up in the morning, it's your decision to be like Christ daily. To be like Christ, particularly on that day. What's your mindset telling you? Because I want you to be aware that you might lose your love or your motivation to God. In Revelation 2, verse 1, at least the idea in Revelation chapter 2, you know, the church in Ephesus, this very book that we're studying, the challenge there is that to remember your first love. When someone tells you to sow the seed, do you know that you have a decision to make? It's either you refuse it or you take the challenge. It's the same concept for all of us, brothers and sisters. And that is also when we look at this particular section, Paul is challenging them not to forget what God has done for them. And take that as a way for you to share it to others. Because now that you made a decision, I'd like to introduce to you the fourth idea. It starts with D again. And it's the word discipline. You see, we can devote our lives to God every single day. Or we can devote our lives to the world. You make a choice. But living a life of pure devotion to God must be equipped, guided by godly direction. And when we have the great direction or godly direction, we must also live a life that's based on godly decisions. And now, you got to learn how to discipline your life. Live a disciplined life. Verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You and I are aware that we live in a sin-filled world. There's no doubt about it. And those who love this world will continue to change our mindset. It will continue to allow us, to attract us to be like one of them. But you are a new creation, right? You know that. You are a new creation. And having that kind of concept, now Paul is saying, live a disciplined life by walking like children of light. Light is a big concept when you read the book of John, because we know that it represents Jesus, because He is the light. And we are children of light. Those of us that are in Christ, we are considered as children of light. John 12:46. These words came from Jesus. He says, "I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness." What a powerful statement, because it's telling us to discipline your life. Because you need to understand that your action has consequences. Is it pleasing to God? Are you growing? Are you participating in fruitful deeds? Are you exposing yourself in the light? Paul says in this particular context in verse 9 of Ephesians 5, he says, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Verse 10, "Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." Expose them. "For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, 'Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" I understand, and I must confess, that it's hard to live a disciplined life. For some of you that were here last year, I was 10 pounds heavier. And I am proud to say that I lost at least 10 pounds in my life. And it took me only a short amount of time because I tried to live a disciplined life. You know, at times I challenge myself, why don't I adapt that in my own Christian life? Maybe there will be a radical or drastic change that will happen to me. You see, the overarching theme of this session that we're having every Wednesday is about spiritual walk. It brings me to this idea of a reality check. To be honest with you, is the idea that how's your relationship with God right now? Is it Christ-like? Do you live a Christ-like life? You know, when we start sowing the seeds or utilizing all the seeds that God has given to us, we have to understand that this is not the end of life. This is not where we reside. Do you know the song? I'm forgetting the title. Help me out, brothers and sisters. This song, you know, it's not when we all get to heaven, but I'm just a passing through. My treasure I laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm glad you know that. I intended to say that. Because literally, this is not our world. In fact, in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 5, there is the sense of urgency to devote yourself to God, to make a great decision and know your direction and live a disciplined life. What's the reason? Verse 16, Paul says, because the days are what? Good? No, it's evil. And it will continue to be, I don't know if that's a word, evilest, more evil. There you go. Nothing has changed 2,000 years ago. Since this idea was penned, nothing has changed, and we are drawn to our downfall. For us to see the evidence of our growth in our spiritual life and achieve victory, this is now our major application. And I want you to take note of this as you use this in your own Christian walk this week. And number one is that you have to know that God will give the increase. He's the one that will allow you to thrive in the things that you're doing in your own ministry, in your own personal relationship with people and with God. And another thing that you need to consider is to know your why. Know your why. Why am I devoting myself to God? Why am I asking God for the sense of direction? Why am I asking God for a disciplined life? Know your why. Do you know why you come to church? Do you know why you have fellowship with one another? When you understand the concept of knowing your why, then what's critical before is becoming more loose, if you will, in a sense where you're now understanding, this is why I'm doing this. And when you sow the seeds, you know the result will be victory. Know your why. And in knowing your why, please, brothers and sisters, be in the Word. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 11, or actually in verse 9, how can a young man, Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. I try to make the application so simple for us, because I do believe that each of us have the responsibility to sow the seeds. What are you doing with that seeds right now? It's still a challenge to all of us. Now I understand as well, another challenge is that sometimes we're afraid to use what we have, what has been given to us. An extra application is to reach out to your brothers and sisters. Ask them how you can continue to grow in your relationship with God. When World War II started, food was essential. And did you know that we are still waging war against the principalities of this world? And we need food. Food for our soul. And where else can we find it? Right before our eyes. Pick it up. Dwell in it. Understand it. Because I believe one day you'll understand even more what victory is all about. That's all I have for you this evening, brothers and sisters. And I do hope and pray that this study will be a benefit to you.